and all that you've provided because of it. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and the price he paid with those stripes on his back so that we could walk in good health, that we would glorify you in our bodies, in our lives, in our conduct. And we thank you for giving us everything we have need of in this life. So be magnified in this time. We just pray that you would just bring out the things that we need to see. We thank you for your word, your promise, the price you paid, that we could walk in it. So be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have been kind of wandering all over the place. We were talking about he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And last week, I believe where we left off is with the ministry of Jesus. We said that Jesus is the will of God in action. His ministry, when you see his ministry and what he's done for us, it is the will of the Father. So if we're concerned about what is the Father's will concerning healing for us, we can see Jesus' actions here on this earth. Amen. And you'll see it. You'll know it. You'll understand it. So we looked at Acts 10:38, and that simply says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know that demonic oppression is not of God, that he's against that, and he's about changing it. Amen? So we know that he went about doing good and healing. And it's not just a few. He didn't just pick out his favorites. It says he went about doing good and healing all. You like that word? Yes. All. Say it with me. All. That includes you, right? Amen. Because he's not a respecter of persons, and we need to understand that above all else, is that God does not ever play favorites. Amen. So what he's done for one, he'll do for you. So if you see the precedent in the Word of God where he has done for one, you can claim that for yourself. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. He's made a way for you, and he's made a way for me. He does not want us oppressed of the devil. He wants us well. He wants us strong. He wants us accomplishing his will for our individual lives and for the body of Christ. He needs all of us. He says it's a body that is working together, that every joint is supplying. And if you have a joint that's out of whack, you're hurting, you're limping. Amen? You're not at full mobility. You're being hindered from accomplishing all that you should be able to do. And God has plans and purposes for each and every one of us, and he wants us to accomplish them. And these are the end days. So we need to be about the Father's business. We need not be hindered or oppressed in any way. What is oppression? It's a pressing down. It's a pressure that it tries to conform you or to keep the lid on. Amen? To keep you down from rising up and taking your place in Christ, taking your position in the body of Christ. So we need to, if we see any kind of oppression on us whatsoever, whether it's emotional, spiritual, mental, financial, or physical, we need to rise up against it and just put our foot down, say, uh-uh, not here. Not here. He made a way. He paid a price so that I could walk in freedom and liberty, that you could walk in freedom and liberty. And the only one that can enforce that is you and me. And I can't enforce it for you, and you can't enforce it for me. He's given us a place in this earth. He's given us authority in the name of Jesus and the power to use that. So we need to take our position, we need to take our authority, and we need to enforce the enemy's defeat. The Word of God says he is under our feet. He's under Jesus' feet, right? And we're the body of Christ, right? So if we're the body of Christ and he's under his feet, then he's under our feet as well. Amen? So we just need to enforce that. Mm-mm. Starts rising up against you in any way? Mm-mm. Not against me. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I will not have this in my life. Amen? Yeah, but if 5 minutes later you're still feeling the same way, what do you do? Uh-uh, I said. Well, what makes you? What makes you so hot that what you say goes? Him? Hallelujah. Amen? He said you can have what you say. Amen. He calls those things that be not as though they were. And he told us to do the same. Amen. He spoke to the fig tree as an example. He cursed that thing with his words. Amen. And then he says, have faith in God. You do the same thing, basically. Look in Mark 11. We don't have time to go there right now, but just search that out. Mark 11, where he's going and he cursed the fig tree, and then go on to Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. And you see where he's giving instructions of how to do that, whatsoever you say. Amen? So we take that. We take our position. We take our authority. We use our faith. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer thereof. You can hear the word all day long. You can be scholared. You can have degrees. You can be in every class and seminar across the nation there is. But if you're not a doer of the word, doesn't matter how much you know it, if you don't do it, if you don't apply faith to it, if you don't put action to it, you're not going to see the results. So we need to participate with God in forcing the enemy's defeat and taking our stand in Christ. We have an awesome place that God has given us. And Jesus, yeah, you say, well, that was Jesus. What about Jesus? Let me just, we'll get his ministry so you can see what that is. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about ours. John 6:38, it says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Amen. So he wasn't about doing his own thing. He was about doing the Father's will. That's why when I say he's the will of God in action, he literally is. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. That's what he came to do. That's what the Father sent him forth to do. Does it look like in here anywhere in that statement he wants anybody sick? That the Father wants anyone sick? Not at all. He wants them free. Luke 4:18. And he anointed him. God anointed Jesus. This is important in this aspect. We're going to talk about the anointing on us in a little bit. But this is the bottom line here, is Jesus laid aside his deity. He came as a man. Amen. He humbled himself. He emptied himself of the godly attributes, came as a man. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power so that he could do these things. Well, we'll just jump over there because we touched on this a little bit last week. But in 1 John 2:20, it says that we have an unction from the Holy One. In 27, it says, but you have an anointing that you have received of him and abideth in you. Amen. There's an anointing, there's an unction from God that we are empowered by God, that we are equipped with the Holy Spirit to do what He's asked us to do. We're not just out here dangling on our own. We have what it takes. Amen. Otherwise, it'd be really unfair and unjust for Him to give us command to do certain things. We'll look at the commissions that we were given in a little bit. But it wouldn't be fair if He commissioned us and told us to do these things, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. Would it be fair if He says, do it, and you weren't able to? That wouldn't be just at all. If He's requiring those things of us, then He's going to equip us to do it. And He anoints us. But our example is Jesus. We need to look at Him, not as though he is in a category by Himself, because He is the Son of God. Amen? But He didn't... I don't want to muddy this up. He came as the Son of God, but He came as a man. He came as the Son of God and laid Himself down, emptied Himself out of those godly attributes, so He functioned entirely as a man, dependent upon God to fill Him, to lead Him, to empower Him, to help Him. Amen. In every way. He only did what the Father told Him to do. He only said what the Father told Him to say. He was dependent upon God. Because if we have Jesus in this class that, well, only Jesus could heal the sick, then we're in a little bit of trouble if He says, you go heal the sick. And in our mind, we have, well, that's only something Jesus can do. How can we do that? Amen? We do it by His example. We do it by following what He did. He did what God told Him to do and showed Him to do. Amen? He spoke the words. He moved out. He spit in the mud. Hallelujah. And He put that on someone's eye. Now, you better know you're hearing from God when you start doing stuff like that. Amen? Amen. But He did. He heard and He had confidence in what God told Him to do. And when He did it, He saw results. Amen. Matthew 4:23-24 says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had palsy, and He healed them all. Amen. There is not a mental or emotional or physical problem or disease that is too difficult for God. He covered it all. Amen. I don't care what you're dealing with or how long you've been dealing with it, He paid the price for it. Amen. I don't care if you brought it on yourself. He paid the price for it. Amen. Sometimes we get all confused when we're in a situation where there's people that have had issues from smoking, issues from drinking, issues from sexual promiscuity, right? Or abortions, and it's brought problems to their body. And you know what they think? I deserve this because I did that. Well, where's the mercy of God in that? Is our God merciful? Is there anybody He wants to hold that against? Now, the blood of Jesus paid for everyone's sins. Amen. And somebody in a gutter, a prostitute in a gutter, it doesn't matter how wicked, how horrible somebody's life has been, any choices that you have made in your past, it is in the past. Amen. Everything under the blood. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're free from guilt and shame and condemnation. Aren't you glad? But the devil would like to make you think you deserve this. For whatever reason, you deserve what you're going through. Well, he's a liar, isn't he? He's the father of lies. And that's the weapon that he uses against you and me more than any other one, is lying to us. He wants us to bite on that, grab hold of that lie, and believe it as truth, and void out what God's word, which is truth, says. So we need to stand against those things. We need to renew our thinking. That's why it's so important to get in the Word of God, because then we're aware of what God's will and his desire for us is, and we're not fighting against that thing. Amen? We got to fight against the enemy and his lies, not against what God's goodness and mercy is trying to bring to us. Amen? He wants you healed and whole. And even if there's something in your life that you brought on, yeah, but I've lived all stress and it, you know, it's caused heart problems. Well, maybe it has. There's time to repent. Amen? And just give it to God and say, God, I realize I haven't been casting the whole of my care on you. I know that this is a stress-related disease, and I commit to give it to you. Amen. And then quit beating yourself up over it. If it comes around again and you catch yourself again, say, okay, here it goes. Amen. You just give it back. Anytime you catch yourself out of line, you just give it back. Amen. Because sometimes people that worry and are under stress, it's a lifestyle with them. They may have been trained up from infancy. Amen. I remember we always lived in little towns. We didn't ever live in big cities. So about the only time we ever went to a big city is a family vacation or traveling, moving, something like that. And then we'd encounter the big city. And my mom did not deal well with heavy traffic. John, and the whole time you're in the car, you're just like, what's going on here? And you're a nervous wreck by the time you got through the city. So growing up with that, I never drove in the city. First time I ever drove in the city was moving to Tulsa. Hallelujah. I was 30-something, 32 maybe. I avoided it at all cost. I was a great passenger. I did not want to drive. What was the deal there? That was instilled in me. And finally, I had a friend who was my co-pilot, and she forced me to drive into Milwaukee. That was a big deal for me. And I got near Milwaukee, and my heart starts beating, and I just start... I'm just starting to panic on the inside, and I'm freaking out looking and you know, all the traffic every which way and behind me, and she just talks me down. It's okay. It's okay. There's a car merging right now, but you've got plenty of time. And she just talked me through it. Amen. We prayed about it, and I bound that thing in the name of Jesus, because it was a spirit of fear that was trying to grab hold of me that I had been giving place to and wasn't even aware of it. Well, you can grow up in fear and worry and anxiety and all sorts of things where it's a lifestyle for you. And until you recognize that, hey, I got to stop this. This is not the way to live. You're going to continue to give place to that thing. So I don't know for you, but I do know that all of those things can cause disease state in your body. when we're anxious and worried, when we stress, when we're in fear, when we allow those to dominate our lives, we're releasing chemicals in our own body that damage our organs, that damage our bodies, that set you in a disease state. Is it important when he says, do not worry, do not fret, cast the whole of your care? Is that important? Sounds like such a little thing. Like, oh, blow it off, like it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. He doesn't want us to carry stress and anxiety. He doesn't want us to be full of fear. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I made it to Milwaukee and back. The next week she says, we're doing it again. I says, oh. And we did it again. And I got right to the part where the traffic starts increasing and the same symptoms. You know there's symptoms with fear? Those same symptoms came on me. And I rebuked it instantly and it left. And then I drove to Ohio and Minneapolis and Tulsa and all over the place. Yay, God. It was fun. But I was bound by the enemy and couldn't fulfill the will of God in my life because I was allowing that fear to dominate me. It's not of God. Amen. So we got to grab hold of these things as they come. What about Jesus' ministry? Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. I sure like that word. We see it over and over and over. What does that mean? He's no respecter of persons. Amen. That means you can't put yourself in your own little special category where he'll do it for everyone else but not me. Amen. He'll do it for you. Amen. I love it. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen. He taught and he healed. Brought forth the word and he healed. Amen. And just a note, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that the majority of the cases in Jesus' ministry where people were healed, the individual, not where he healed them all, we can't discern all that, but the individual cases that you look at in the word of God, the majority of them received healing by their own faith. 12 out of the 19 individual ones that were there. They received it because of their faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Amen? Amen. That's good news. How many got faith in here? Even as a mustard seed. Didn't say you had to have a boatload of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now here's Matthew 10:1. It says, and when he had called unto him his disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Well, that's good news. Now here's Jesus going out in his ministry, and he just transferred that. Amen. He gave them power and authority. Why? Because he'd never sinned, and he had the right to transfer that, to give it to them, to use it. Amen? This is before his death, burial, and resurrection. This is while he's still on the earth. But he could transfer it to them. Amen? Well, isn't that great that Jesus and his disciples went about healing and doing good? Isn't that good news? What does that say? It's the will of God for Jesus to minister healing. It's the will for the disciples to spread it out and to go out and to reach others. But it didn't stop there. Because we continue to see some things in Look at Matthew 10:7. This is what the 12 were commanded to do. Matthew 10:7-8. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. But then it goes on. Luke 10:1. He spreads it even further. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them out two by two. And verse 17 of chapter 10 of Luke says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, Jesus was continuing to expand the ministry. This is the will of the Father. This is God's will. Jesus, he raised up the 12. He raised up the 70. He sent them out. Because some people will think, well, that was Jesus. Jesus will heal. I believe Jesus will heal. If Jesus was here today, he'd heal me. But Jesus isn't here today, so I can't get healed. Well, then you show him the 12. Yeah? Hallelujah. But that was the disciples. They were special. Well, here's 70. 70 others. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. He's perpetuating his ministry. He's training them up to go out. And then we see in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, there were 120 in that upper room. And they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they were to take this message and they were to go throughout and spread throughout the earth. Amen. The goodness of God and what he's raised the body of Christ up to do. Amen. And it didn't end there. Yeah, but that was just for the beginning of the church age. Hallelujah. Amen. We were raised up under that think tank. And yes, it was. There was a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But if you look at Matthew 28, it says, let me find that. I'm going to go ahead and read. There's a commission in Matthew and one in Mark. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, and Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Amen. Did he command them to go out and lay hands on the sick? To cast out devils. Amen. He did, didn't he? Everything I commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So who is at the end of the age? Looks like we're getting pretty close, huh? Right? So is he with you? Didn't he say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Amen. Amen. He's equipping us for something. Let's look at the last chapter in Mark. 16, and we'll start in verse 15. Then he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak a new language. And they, if they pick up snakes, they will pick up snakes. If they should drink anything deadly, it will never harm them. This isn't foolish stuff we're talking here. Remember, Paul was on that island, and he was getting some sticks to light a fire, and a viper attached itself to his hands. He wasn't playing with snakes like some goofy things do. He accidentally, because he was on a missionary endeavor that had snakes there, and that snake bit him, he shook it off, and they're waiting for him to die. But he didn't die. Amen? It brought great glory to God. Amen. It's not like goofy stuff, like drinking poison to try to prove anything. But if you do happen to drink something, you'll not be harmed. Amen. And you need to exercise faith with these things. I remember when I was in Ghana last time, we had communion. Well, when you mix juice with water down there, they're used to drinking their water. I am not. And when you're not used to drinking that kind of water, it can really mess with you. So I'm looking at that communion cup and believe in God. Amen. That this word is true and this will not harm me. Absolutely fine and did not have any effect. Yeah, but a little communion cup, what that's going to do? A toothbrush wet will cause problems for you. Amen? So we're not testing God in these things, but we're believing him. That if you're ever in a situation, then you can believe God. That he's going to protect you and keep you in the midst of that. So, they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. And then Jesus was taken up. Amen. This is where he commissioned the church. He gave them power and authority. They'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, now you go. He says, go therefore. In my name. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. We're living in an exciting day, an exciting hour, because God wants the entire body of Christ active, involved in ministry, involved believers. Can you imagine if the whole body of Christ was really believers? Hallelujah. If we really believe this was true, if we really believe that God anoints my hands, there was a point in time where I didn't believe that. I could see Sister So-and-so, or I could see Pastor, or I could see Brother Hagin, or I could see somebody else doing that, but I couldn't see me laying hands on the sick. It was a great idea, but I just didn't have any faith that I was good enough for God to use me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. All we have to do is believe. There is no good enough. Amen. If we're children of God, then we have the greater one on the inside of us. Amen. The Spirit of the living God. How much greater do you get than that? Greater is he. Amen. That lives in me than he that is in the world. It doesn't get any greater. Amen. Amen. Yay. You guys can get excited at any point in time here. God has so much for us. Amen. And he's just waiting for us to believe it. Believe it's true. Amen. You know, the truth of the matter is, I think it's Romans 8:11 talks about the resurrection power of God, power that raised Christ from the dead. Where does it dwell? In you. To do what? To quicken, to make alive your mortal. Would you have a mortal body in heaven? No, when we get there, we're going to have awesome, awesome, totally recreated, resurrected bodies that are not mortal whatsoever. Yay! They're not going to get tired or itchy. They're not going to be bothered. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Woo! They're not going to dictate to us. Amen. We're not going to have to fight our flesh like we do here. But the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us to quicken, to make alive this mortal body. Therefore, that power is resident always. 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 Say the power of God. And say it like you mean it. The power of God lives in me to do something. You know, when dynamite's created, manufactured, it's powerful, right? And its purpose to do something. Its purpose to blow something up, right? But it's just going to sit there until somebody sets a fire to it. You've got dunamis, dynamite, power on the inside of you, and it's just going to sit there till you decide to do something with it. Amen. Me too. So, what are you going to do? This body, your body. We need to apply faith in the power that's resident in us. Bottom line is, we don't ever have to have hands laid on us or prayer of agreement or anything. You can be on an island all by yourself. Amen. And you don't have to wait for an evangelist to come to your island to pray for you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm stirring up that resurrection power and life to go where it's needed right now. Amen. Where's it needed right now? Amen. Because you can direct that power, that resurrection, the same power. It's not a lesser power. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead that dwells on the inside of you and dwells on the inside of me. The same power, not a lesser power, not a weaker power in any way, but the same power that raised Jesus, beaten and ripped and torn and shredded and dead for 3 days, it raised him up. And it's the same power that's inside you. So what is pneumonia, cancer, diabetes? Amen. Anything. What is anything? Is there anything that is greater than that power? I'm thinking not. Even if something has to be recreated, we're talking the power of God. Raised him up. It'll raise you up. Amen. It will change you. it will change your life. Amen. But it's not the hearer only, it's the doer thereof. Amen. Amen. So it's gone from Jesus to the 12, to the 70, to the 120, to the church body-wide. Amen. Even to the end of the age. Why? Because it's still the will of the Father that we be whole, that we be strong. Amen. Ourselves personally, and then the believers, the ones that choose to believe his word is true. The ones that choose to believe that he has given us his power to do something. Not for us, not for some fanfare or flash that we, any of us, be recognized, but that he be lifted up, that he be glorified. I'm telling you, healing is a calling card to the lost. You want to see the goodness of God? It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You see how good God is? When you're feeling bad and you're healed, you know that's good. Amen? There's nothing better than that. And what does that do to you? But it just draws your heart to God. Amen? And we can, every one of us can take that truth, take that life with us and bring it forth. Amen. Every one of us will know somebody that's sick in body or emotions or mentally, any oppression of the devil. It's all been paid for. There's no difference between casting out devils and laying hands on somebody for a headache. Amen. It's just knowing your position, that you've been empowered by God and you have the name above all names that everything has to submit to. Amen. We've been given it all. Aren't you glad? He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He withholds no good thing from those that walk uprightly. All purposed. Amen. He doesn't want us groping around trying to figure what end is even up. He wants us to know confidently what's going on. Amen. You know, when Romans 10, 8 through 10, it says, the message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, one confesses, resulting in salvation. But where it says, you'll be saved, if you go back to what that means in the Greek, it's the word sozo. You've been around at any time at all, you probably know this already. But that means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to be or make whole. And resulting in salvation, soteria, means rescue or safety, physically or morally, to deliver, for health, to save, or salvation. What is that saying? It's the same basis. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's over all. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is healer. It's the same basis. He's the deliverer. Amen. Everything he's declared himself to be, he desires to have that place in our life. If we'll submit to him and give him that place of authority in our life, submit and surrender, he has already healed. Amen. He's already suffered and given his all that we would be whole. He paid the price, and he paid it in full. There's nothing lacking. Amen. There's that banquet table that he set before us in the presence of our enemies. And there's healing bread on that table. That table is set, and you can go partake of that bread anytime you want. What are we supposed to do when we take communion? Put yourself in remembrance of this. Of what? His blood that was shed. It was the blood and the bread. It was the wine and the bread, the blood in the body that was broken. We're setting ourselves in remembrance, partaking of that. Amen. That his blood was shed. It washed us. It cleansed us. Amen. We're free. And the body that was broken. Set yourself in remembrance of that. Forget none of your benefits. Who heals all of your diseases. Too many times we go to God begging. Oh God, please, I hope, oh gosh, I pray it's your will, Lord God. Please, please, oh God, please. Don't you know how I'm suffering? Please, God, please. Go confidently before him. Amen. Partake of what's rightfully yours. Amen. He paid a great price so you could have it. So you just have to partake of it. Yeah, I go home. Well, mom's in heaven now, but you go home to your back to your mom's house. Is she going to roll out the red carpet and serve you hand and foot, or are you going to help yourself to what's on the table? In my house, you better help yourself. Amen? Now, Mama made it, but you help yourself. She's not going to spoon feed you. And too many of us are like little birds. Oh, God, please. And we want him to just put it in, and he's saying, help yourself. It's yours. I've delivered it unto you. I've given you everything. Amen. So he's put everything on the inside of us. We just partake. Amen. We just partake of what he has for us. And he is absolutely the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his will does not change. It's not going to change tomorrow. Amen. Amen. And one of the things I'm finding out, I don't know how old you got to get or how dumb sometimes we are, but spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit being created in the image of God. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our intellect. And we live in a physical body. Amen. And I talked early on when we started tonight about worry and stress and anxiety and stuff. But just attitudes and strife and different things that can come in when I have harbored things in my heart. Disappointments even. And you start getting edgy on the inside. And I have seen physical symptoms crop up in my body, and it seems like the older I get, the faster they crop. You just sow a seed and boom, there it is. So I don't know about you, but one thing I'm having to do is check my heart, check my mouth, check my attitudes. Because it makes a way for the enemy to come in quicker than anything. Amen. Amen. Harsh words, getting upset because somebody did you wrong. We got to give it to God. We've got to let go. We've got to have enough faith that God can speak to them or move on their behalf. And even if he doesn't, he can make a way. Amen. He's a good God, and we can trust him. But I got to get that book. Got to get to it. God is good. Amen. So is it the will of God that you be healed today? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When, you know, it said that Jesus set the captives free, proclaimed that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, that is, from that point on, it's a perpetual jubilee. The Jews continue to celebrate jubilee, year of jubilee, and it's every 50 years, and Pastor Gary's taught on that several times. But when he says it's the acceptable year of the Lord, that means perpetual jubilee, perpetual celebrate, perpetual. Amen. Everything coming to us. Everything that was lost being restored. Everything that was lost through sin. Everything that entered in at that point has been restored. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Yay. It's good, 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 good God. And the earnest of our inheritance, the thing that really means this is true, we see that in Romans 8:23, is the redemption of our bodies. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. What's that mean? When you buy a house, you put a little bit of money down on that house to show you're really going to buy it. Amen? So what has he done to show our salvation and all of this is really, really true? The earnest of our inheritance, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. He went about doing good and healing. He was showing them then. He's showing us now. Amen. It's the will of God. And we have a video clip. These are awesome. Stay back there. Okay.